If you're about to get engaged or ready to walk down the aisle, your true love deserves a true jeweler, the Diamond Seller. As a true jeweler, we not only have designer collections to meet your bridal needs, but we also have talented in-house designers who can create something truly one of a kind. Visit the Diamond Seller today.
Let's go. That's right, baby. And my bitch called talking about some drama. Saying it ain't no time for women or to come up. It's either bleep or the come up. Man, I just want to go flex. Let's go, baby. The coats are flexing right now. Listen, I know times are tough. I know times are tough. World news is definitely sad right now. And it's hard to get excited about sports, you know, just with the overwhelming amounts of just worry I think everybody has for what's going on in Europe. Certainly don't need to get into that here. Everybody has their own opinions and their own thoughts, and you don't need to listen to a podcast to formulate your own opinions or concerns, thoughts, or whatever. But I will just put this out there. I would like to see a race to Mars. If things got bad enough where it was like the U.S. needs to step in, and, you know, these are U.S. and Russia always been the number one, two dogs in the world, right? It's always been, and that's basically what this is, right? Like Russia's just taken over a country that's not a part of NATO, which we know NATO is basically just a U.S.-run organization. Like, we're the top dog, right? Maybe that's, you know, a little ignorant of me to say. Certainly could be. But if we could somehow twist it, if things got that heated between the United States and Russia, my stance on the war is just, let's just race to Mars. Worked the last time. First one wins. Wins the war. Let's just call it that. And I like our chances. I'm just saying. I like our chances. Mostly because we won the last time around. But that's my stance. Okay. Seriously, though. Thoughts and prayers for all the folks in the Ukraine. All right. That's it. Last thing I'll say on that. The coats last night. It was the coats last night. Not often do we get to see this team come out. But when they come out, holy sh! I mean, I feel amazing right now. I feel amazing right now. I didn't think, you guys heard me on the podcast yesterday. I did not believe that the Jackets would have a realistic opportunity to win that game. I just didn't. I was like, Florida, you know, they can score a lot of goals. They're extremely good at home. They're just a tough team to keep up with. And frankly, they just completely smoked the Jackets the last two games that they had played against them. And it's professional sports, so, you know, it wasn't totally unlikely that the Jackets were to snip them in the butt. But it was the way that they did it last night, right, man? It's the way that they did it last night. And obviously, you go down 1-0 in any game. That's not gonna throw the Jackets off. I thought what would throw the Jackets off is when they were up 3-1, gave up the goal to make it 3-2, where it was just a pizza left in the middle for Barkov, and he just buried it. Was it Barkov or Huberdeau? I get those guys mixed up so often. I don't remember who it was. But Jean-François Berube, a.k.a. the Chief, who's now 3-0. The Chief is 3-0. Tell me what's more Chief-like behavior than coming up from the AHL and ripping off three straight victories. He's my guy right now. He is absolutely my guy right now. I don't know who's going to start tonight. I mean, we got another game to look forward to. It can't be Berube, right? He can't play four straight games and on a back-to-back. And I don't know if Elvis is good to go. And then I guess it's just Jet. We're just putting the Jet in. I'm okay with that. Let's see. Let's roll the freaking dice. Let's see what's happening right now with this team. Everything's firing. Everybody's buzzing. Everybody's feeling good. Offensively, this team is looking like the best it's seriously ever looked, like as a Jackets franchise. As a franchise, this is the best offensive performance we've ever seen out of the Blue Jackets. And it starts with one man. It starts with Patrick Laine. He got the first goal to get things going last night. He's got 13 goals in 10 games. Pay Patrick Laine all the money that we have in the bank, in the reserve. Keep this guy around forever. He's electric out there, man. He's just electric. And huge credit goes to Jake Voracek, who always seems to be on the other end of Laine goals, giving him the assist. Voracek has been a complete game changer for this offense. He has completely flipped around everything that we're able to do, and it's working. It's working right now. And it's so hard to look at the standings right now, because Boston just they just don't let that gap close at all. They don't let that gap close at all. And I thought maybe Seattle would pull it out of their butts last night and get a dub over Boston. And, you know, maybe that would be a huge victorious night for the Jackets, right? Like, you got 2 points back on the team that you're chasing for that wild card spot. And no, the Bruins were still able to get it done in overtime. But nothing to fear. Bruins are still on, they're still on the road here. They still got a Western Conference trip that they're on. I think tonight, or maybe they're not playing a back-to-back. No, tomorrow night they're playing the Sharks. And I'd like to see the Sharks get feisty, man. I'd like to see one of these teams step up and beat the Bruins, because the Bruins have rattled off 3 straight victories, and they're about to get Brad Marchand back, and we know the kind of game wrecker that he can be for them. So I'm a little nervous about that. I'm going to be completely honest there. However, I'm focused on this Jackets team, what's going on right now, and as long as they keep handling their business, I'm just going to hope and pray that the standings work themselves out and that somehow this Jackets team can make the playoffs again. And I'm okay. I'm okay making the playoffs again. I'm okay being an 8 seed in the playoffs. You know why? Because those 4 days that you're guaranteed to get, those 4 playoff game days, nothing hits better than that in the spring. It really doesn't. It really doesn't for me. That's top notch. And if you can get a couple wins and extend that a little bit and maybe even get into the second round somehow and pull off some crazy upset in the first round, that's all I really give a damn about, man. I mean, you see Twitter profiles out there that, you know, keep track of Blue Jackets playoff victories. They put little stars on their little, like, logos, just like crew fans do for their crew logos when they win MLS Cups. When they win actual championships. No, you don't put stars on for playoff wins. But that's what Blue Jackets fans do, because that's just how much playoff wins means to Blue Jackets fans. And it's absolutely true. I could tell you every game that happened in that first series against the Bolts. And then I can tell you everything that happened in that first series against the Leafs. And I don't even know if that should even count as a playoff series win, because it took place in the bubble, and we all know that nothing in the bubble counted. So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I digress from that. Let's go get the Canes. Let's go get the Canes this weekend, or tonight rather. Canes are coming in, and they're certainly a very similar team than what the Jackets have, what the Jackets have just faced. They just knocked off the Atlantic Division leaders, and now they're playing the Metropolitan Division leaders, and the Metropolitan Division leaders are coming in winning 3 in a row. And 35-11-4 record. This is seriously a monster that you really, you don't feel great about going up against. We know what they have. They have Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, and then, you know, Teuvo Teravainen. Their front three are just completely dominant. And then they supplement it with another good center in Vincent Trocheck, who leads the way on a line with Nino Niederreiter. And Jordan Martinuk. Jordan Martinuk. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's not a guy that we need to be worried about. But, you know, an interesting thing about the Carolina Hurricanes is their situation that they have on defense, because they lost Dougie Hamilton to the Devils, and Dougie Hamilton was definitely their A1 guy. He was their Seth Jones, if you will. And they lost him in free agency to the Devils. And I think for guys, for, you know, Carolina Hurricanes fans, they looked at this year as, we just lost our number one defenseman. How are we going to be as a team? What's this season going to look like without having him out there on the ice, missing that hole? Obviously, we're still loaded on the front side of things and offensively, but when you lose your big-time anchor, that's worrisome. And then the Canes did something kind of controversial, and they signed Tony DeAngelo at the beginning of the season. And Tony DeAngelo, hockey fans know this, is a troublemaker because of his time spent with the New York Rangers, very specifically. He was very politically active on Twitter, and, you know, for the right or wrong reason, I'll let everyone else be the judge of that. That still rubbed some people the wrong way. And he was a turd in the locker room a little bit. I think he was fighting with Alexander Georgiev, the goalie. And I think he had a bad... Like, you never want to be on your goalie's wrong side, especially as a defenseman. And he definitely rubbed some people the wrong way. It was just a major, major issue in the locker room. And all reports said that. There was not one person that was up defending him. And then they just cut him. So the Rangers just let him go. And then he was picked up by Carolina, and of course, people wanted to cancel Carolina because they had picked up a guy that voices political actions and was a little bit of a turd. Well, he's been pretty damn good for the Canes. He's got 40 points in 43 games, 9 goals, 31 apples. He's third in scoring for the Carolina Hurricanes on a loaded team, and he's definitely found a home. And he's kept quiet, right? Like, just don't be politically active on Twitter. There's just no reason for that. People don't really look to athletes to, yes, you're allowed to have your opinion, absolutely. And if you feel like the issue involves you personally, then please speak up. But for the most part, people don't look to athletes for their political opinions, and Tony DeAngelo shared a little bit too much, to say the least, but he's kept that quiet. He's kept that down. He's just, you know, I think he looked at this as really his, one of his last opportunities to do something in the league, and he's made use of it, and good for him. And whether you like him or not, that's completely up to you. Some other guys that they have, they also have Ethan Bear. That was another guy they picked up from Edmonton. He's fun. He's a fun guy because of his, I don't know, I guess it's not Native American because he's from Canada, but his, I guess his native descent. I remember he did something kind of cool a couple of years ago, or maybe it was last year, where he wore a jersey and his last name is Bear, but it was written out in his native language, if you will. And it looked really cool. And I remember that sold a lot of jerseys. And he's just got a cool last name. I mean, Ethan Bear is just a fantastic last name. So anyway, Carolina Hurricanes have definitely built themselves up to be a complete wagon. They're leading the toughest division in hockey. And I should be worried. I should be worried about tonight. But for some reason, I just feel so good. Not for some reason. Obviously, for a major reason. The Jackets won last night. 6-3. They handled Florida. When Florida made that push to make it 3-2, and the barn last night was wild, I thought. I know John Buchegross, who did a fantastic job on the call. I forget who was the woman that was the analyst. She also did a fantastic job. I really, really liked listening to that crew. I mean, and John Buch, he wears the Blue Jackets hat. The Jackets have very few members in the media that wear their hat, and Buch is certainly a guy that throws on the Blue Jackets hat every now and then because he's from Ohio. I think it was Hillary Knight who was on the analyst call, by the way. Fantastic job out of her. Yeah, I just really enjoyed the crew. I couldn't listen to the most of the game with the volume up because I was running. I was actually working, and then I got home, and one of my good friends got a dog, so we FaceTimed her forever. And, well, they're not going to keep the dog, I don't think. I'm going to try to convince them to keep the dog, but I just don't think because of certain circumstances, it'll be necessarily their choice. But anyway, on the call last night, I love Booch. Booch did a phenomenal job. I love this thing that broadcasters do when you know that a guy wears your hat, or you think that a guy wears your team's hat, and he's kind of flirting with definitely wearing the other team's hat. And you know it's because that's the team people want to be watching, right? Like, it's not like people nationwide tuned into the ESPN Hulu broadcast because they wanted to watch the Blue Jackets. No, they wanted to watch the Florida Panthers get their home game, get their high-powered offense, scoring goals. That's what they wanted to see, right? And the over-under was set at 7.5 with two backup goalies in the net. I mean, at least third option goalies in the net for both teams in Johansson and Berube. And the over certainly it wasn't looking good. It wasn't looking good. It was 2-1 at the end of two periods. And you still probably thought in your head, no way this thing gets to seven even more. And it certainly did. And now the over under is set for 6.5 tonight. I'm going to do my due diligence, and I'm going to bet the over 6.5. And I didn't even have to wait for the Jackets to win their two games for me to put a little five spot on the future to win 5K. That's a pretty sweet deal, if you ask me. And I don't even know if this win tonight will mean anything for the Jackets and for their line changes. I think mostly it still is looking pretty tough. Like, that 9 points that you need to grab back from Boston is pretty brutal. I'm going to be completely honest, but it can happen. I'm not going to say it's going to. I'm just saying I'm going to choose to believe that it can, and why not? Why not us, you know? So anyway, let's go through that game last night a little bit more. Just the first couple periods, at least, I thought were very interesting because 6 minutes and 52 seconds without a whistle to start, by the way. That was pretty incredible. And you almost don't even notice that that's going on. And it's kind of nice when that does go on, you know, just constant flow play. And I know the commercial people probably hate it because they get to their break so late. But the broadcasters themselves probably love it because the game goes by a little bit quicker. So I love that. You know, 6 minutes, 52 seconds without a whistle. Nothing major really happened. And then coming out of that, Barkov made an incredible pass to Mackenzie Weegar for that first goal. Must be nice. Must be nice getting passed to. That was a shot at my C-League team. Not that if I got passed to, I'd be able to do anything with it. Or not that I even passed the puck a little bit more. But that was one thing I left my C-League. I'm starting to make the full-time transition to C-League. I've been thinking maybe I should stop being a garbage can and being that guy that's good enough to play in C-League but still playing D-League and just wrecking shit. I mean, I do feel like Connor McDavid when I'm in D-League. It's awesome. It's awesome. But that's probably a sign that I should be moving up. But I've been playing more on my C-League team, and I'm like Alexander Texier of C-League. Like, I definitely have some good games, but I also could just completely disappear for months at a time. And, of course, Texier has disappeared now because he's injured, but, you know, great transition out of me here coming. Wow, there were trade talks. There was a little buzz going on about Texier. Are the Jackets going to move him? And that got people fired up because he is having a career year this year. He's having the best year that he's had in his short tenure with the Jackets since we've drafted him. And listen, here are my thoughts on it. If you can get a first-round pick and a player for Texier, that's an absolute win. If you can get just a first-round pick for Texier, that's a push. That's a push, okay? Because I think he was starting to add first-round value talent to your team this year. And if he can continue to do that, then obviously it would almost be very upsetting to lose him. But again, this is still a team that is focusing on a rebuild, focusing on the future. Can we get a first-round draft pick to hopefully bolster the prospect list that we have coming up and increasing the Jackets' chances of eventually landing on a guy that can be here full-time or multiple guys that can be here full-time? Because so far out of Sillinger and Chinnikov, I don't quite know if either of those guys can be full-time guys. I would probably say Sillinger's upside is just the fact that he plays center, and he does a great job at playing center, and he plays with tenacity, and he has a smart hockey IQ and always knows how to be in the right position, which is why he does get goals. And then Chinnikov's upside is his shot. He's got an incredible shot, very similar to Laine's, and with just how much speed his wrist shot has. I don't think he has the accuracy that Laine has, otherwise he'd be putting up Laine numbers. But he's definitely got something there, and there's definitely something there for sure with Chinnikov. Just really haven't seen it come to full fruition yet, and it's early, right? The guy's, you know, what, 19 years old? So still a lot of time for him left on the table. We only drafted him just, you know, two drafts ago, so it's not like it's pressing that he needs to do something now. I'd like to see him do something now, but it's not urgent time for him. So, but yeah, if you could get something for Texier that it resembles a first-round draft pick, I'd be completely okay with that. I don't think the Jackets need to move him. Yarmo's just addicted to moving players. He's just addicted to trades. And Corpy's trade value has certainly decreased because he hasn't been playing. And when he was playing, it's not like he was playing all that great. So his trade value has gone down. And that was definitely a guy that you thought that the Jackets would move. And now it's looking like they're not going to. So we'll keep our pulse on that. But nonetheless. Oh, also, let me just finish up this game here real quick. I also loved how Buchigross was pointing out the crowd wasn't that great. He said that at the very beginning of the broadcast. I did notice that. But on whose scale, though? From what I could tell, that was a pretty solid Florida crowd. It looks like, you know, there is actually fans there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying the times were so desperate at Florida Panthers games that just having 50% capacity is a huge dub. And it seemed like they had at least that last night. And the Florida fans definitely were definitely groaning and were definitely pissed off when the Jackets were scoring goals and won that. And that's a feeling that I said on yesterday's podcast, I just want dubs. I just want to be able to teabag Panthers fans. That's all I want. And the Jackets certainly provided that. So I know on like everybody else's scale, that wasn't a great crowd for the Panthers, but for the Panthers, that was a great crowd for the Panthers, especially on a Thursday night. Are you kidding me? I also wanted to point out, I just love watching Chief in that. I just love watching Berube play. That kick save that he had on Vetrano, I think in the first period was just awesome. It was just really awesome. And it keeps me warm inside knowing that he's a guy that shouldn't be here and everything that he's playing on his house money. And he keeps earning, I hope he just continues to earn respect from this room. And yeah, as long as Chief wants to be a story with the Blue Jackets, I'm okay with that. I'm going to remember this three-game stretch as the Chief stretch, and hopefully it extends and lasts a lot longer than that because it has so far been incredibly electric. It's been a really fun ride so far with Chief in net. Also needed to give this guy a shout-out. Jeff Shibota tweeted this, that Boone Jenner now third all-time for Jackets goals. That's pretty neat. He's behind Cam and Rick Nash. He just passed Nick Foligno at 143 goals. Let's fucking go, dude. I don't know. That's a stat that just gets me pumped up, man. I can't help but just be in love with this team right now, and I can't help but bet on this team right now. These next two games, Carolina and Pittsburgh, you know, we could come at the other side of these two games, losing both of them and be right back down to reality, right? Or we could win these two games and be on the other side of this thing and really be buzzing. And the Jackets, who have won four in a row, have a chance to win five in a row tonight against Carolina. They're gonna be catching some noise. They're gonna be catching some noise if they keep getting these dubs. And yeah, I'm living in the moment right now. I'm gonna continue to live in the moment. I want dubs. I don't want draft picks. Also, going on this weekend, got to talk about this because it's going on in the hockey world. The Stadium Series is going on in Nashville. And Nashville has played in a outdoor game before. Obviously, they played in the one in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl, which was beautiful. By the way, I thought, in my opinion, like, I was like, Sights and Sounds, just great. Cotton Bowl, of course, classic. This one going on at 7:30 at night. I'm excited for the jersey matchup. I know the Predators have a pretty stupid-looking one, but the Bolts one will look fantastic. Both teams are going to be out there. Look, I think this will be a more interesting game. It's a more intriguing game to me personally than the Blues Wild one, just because this is in a taking place in Tennessee, which is, you know, a southern state, if you will, and it's going to be an outdoor game. It's going to be interesting. I'm going to be kind of locked into this thing on Saturday night at 7:30, and yeah, that should be a lot of fun. But other than that, everybody have a fantastic weekend. Let's come back. Let's be roaring. If the Jackets win tonight, I'm going to do an emergency episode. I'm going to grab my podcast gear. I'm going to go over to Tommy's, and we're going to do an emergency episode together. And yeah, it's going to be crazy. So let's get after it. Everyone have a good one, and go tell your dog about the podcast. Tell your dog.